Amen.
Hey church, welcome to Amen Podcast, where we preach the good news of Jesus Christ and how it applies to everyday life. I'm Lokelani, your host, and I'm joined by my amazing husband, Alex. He'll be preaching out of Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. We're in the CSB version today, so go ahead and get your Bibles if you have them. He'll be preaching about motivation. So what is your motivation for being a Christian? Do you want the ethics, the benefits, the status, the culture, or do you want the King? Well, today, Alex will teach you how to have the right motivation to follow Jesus. Let's read. Whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, so their fasting is obvious to people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting isn't obvious to others, but to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
Amen. Motivation is the reason for a person's entrance into heaven or departure into hell. Motivation is like the fine line between heaven and hell. And so knowing why we follow Jesus is of the most importance. In today's culture, being a Christian is cool. Following Jesus is cool. In the early church, it wouldn't have been that way. A lot of the people who were following Christ got murdered for following Christ, for preaching the gospel, for preaching against the culture. And so it certainly wasn't a cool thing back then. What was cool was being successful, being powerful, being loved by everyone, much like today. But in today's world, Christians are treated that way. We have this huge, gigantic Christian culture that is largely accepted by most of the world. And that doesn't look anything like what we see in the book of Acts. And so what would motivate the disciples to stay so devoted to Jesus to the point of death? Don't you think that if it was all a hoax last minute before they got boiled alive, skinned alive, burned alive, crucified, don't you think they would have been like, okay, no, this is not what we signed up for. This is our motivation was just to get a couple followers and you start a movement, but this isn't what we wanted. Their motivation was so right, it took them all the way to their death. Mm-hmm. So don't you want that kind of motivation? You might be thinking, oh, I don't want to die, but having that, something like that to live for, you're basically invincible. How can you upset a person that has that kind of motivation, that they're willing to die for what they believe? They have found so much satisfaction, so much joy in Jesus. There's nothing on this earth that is of value to them. Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What do you take away from a person like that? Nothing. They have such right motivation. Lastly, before we get into this, our friend Levi, he's a missionary to Jordan. And in Jordanian culture, for you to become a Christian means to leave absolutely everything. You're excommunicated. You're cut off from your family. Everything you would lose just to be a Christian. You got to have the right motivation to be able to live like that. That's a powerful, powerful person. We're going to talk about why we need the right motivation, why we don't have the right motivation, and how to have the right motivation. Verse 16, it says, whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites. Again, Jesus is talking to his disciples. They're sitting down, I imagine, in the grass, and they're close, and they're listening to Jesus teach. And Jesus is breaking down the religious culture that they grew up in, breaking down the influence of the people most powerful in their life, the religious leaders, the Pharisees. He's saying, I know you think that you're supposed to be like that, but by now you can tell that I'm not anything like them, and I don't want you to be anything like them. To the point where, here's an example, they're fasting. You see, when they fast, they make their face very gloomy and sad. They want people to know that they're fasting. Jesus says they do this disfigure their faces so that their fasting is obvious to people, he says in verse 16. He's saying they do that because they're seeking the praise of man. And they're not getting anything really out of fasting. By saying this, Jesus is saying, I'm not necessarily commanding you to fast. I'm commanding you to pray. You gotta pray. but I'm not commanding you to fast. I'm commanding you to know what fasting is truly getting at. There's a reward that God gives to those who fast with the right heart. And the reward of those who fast with the wrong heart is simply looking spiritual. Mm-hmm. That's what the Pharisees were going for. Oh, I'm so sad. Look at me. I'm suffering so much. And so people can see that and say, wow, look at how devoted to God they are. Look at how devoted to their spirituality are. And Jesus is saying that's the only reward that they get. Fasting is a practice that is of extreme importance because of our flesh. In Hebrew, the word fasting, it meant to humble your soul. And so what it does is it's a lowering of the mind so that you can hear and see God's will and plan more clearly. In the Old Testament, they would fast corporately. It was one way they fast. Like the people of Israel would do a fast on the Day of Atonement when they'd celebrate how God has atoned, taken away their sin. Another time we see fasting is Daniel, where he is so broken over the sin of Israel, he mourns and he goes on a special diet, doesn't drink wine, doesn't eat meat. And he was doing that to help himself grieve over the sins of earth, sins of the Israelites. Mm-hmm. Esther is another time she fasts. What she does is she needs direction from God so bad, she does an absolute fast where absolutely no food and no water for 3 days to hear from God more clearly. One of the normal fasts that we see is one that Jesus does, 40 days, no food. He still had water. He's in the wilderness, not eating for 40 days so that he could strengthen himself, spiritually enrich himself to follow God's plan and will for his life more perfectly, more clearly. Why did Jesus do that? It's because he had a flesh just like us. In Hebrews, he says he was tempted in every way. And the devil comes during those 40 days to tempt him. He saw that Jesus was fasting. He didn't really know exactly why Jesus was fasting. He didn't really know the plan of God, which we'll get into later. But he was there noticing, okay, he's fasting. He's doing something important. Something important is coming up. And so I'm going to attack him to give into his flesh. Turn these stones into bread. And Jesus, of course, didn't do it. So fasting is very important. Do you have a big decision to make? Do you need clarity? Are you grieving over something? Fasting is a great way to do that. And so what the Pharisees were doing, they weren't doing it for any of those reasons. They were doing it to get people's praise out of it. And if you fast for the praise of people, you'll never be able to understand the proceedings of the plan of God for you. You're never going to, if you're fasting just to hear people say, wow, look at you, you're never going to understand what God is trying to reveal to you in your word. You see, the reward of fasting, when you do it with the right heart, is the reward of any spiritual practice. So maybe God's not really asking you to fast. Maybe you don't feel led to fast. Whatever the spiritual practice may be, whatever form it may take, if you do it for the wrong reasons, you're not going to get the reward. The reward is God. The reward is knowing what he wants for you, having clarity, having direction. Is that your motivation? Or is your motivation much more earthly? I love what Myron Augsburger said. He says, fasting as an exercise is to deprive oneself of the normal and pleasant performances of life for the sake of personal enrichment. If you practice spirituality for people's praise, you and your spirit will never be able to discern God's ways. Whatever spiritual practice that you're doing, Jesus warns us that if you do it to get a pat on the back from the world, we'll never get the reward from the Father promised in the Word. So what Jesus is saying here is, if you practice spirituality for man's praise, really you're a sellout. You're not having sincerity of heart, and what you're going to get out of it is man's praise. That's it. You're selling out in the sense that you're saying, okay, I'd rather take man's praise over God's praise. And that's what the Pharisees were. They weren't doing it with the right motivation. They weren't doing it for God. They were doing spiritual stuff up in public in front of everyone, pridefully, because they were sellouts. They were saying, I'd rather reap eternal rewards than heavenly rewards. So let's get into, we know why we need the right motivation. It's because we want to be sincere. We don't want to be a sellout. But here's why we don't have the right motivation. Verse 17, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. What Jesus is saying here is don't seek any sympathy from the world for fasting. Fasting is hard. All spiritual practices are hard. Following God with the right form of spirituality is going to be hard at times. But don't seek sympathy from the world, because if you do, then you're not doing it for the right motivation. Mm-hmm. This is why we don't have the right motivation. It's because out of our pride, we want sympathy from the world. What the Jews would do, and the reason why Jesus is talking about oil, is because the Jews would use oil that smelled really good to honor someone or to celebrate something very important. And so what Jesus is saying is, don't let anyone know that you're really going through it, that you're suffering spiritually. Don't bring attention to that when you're practicing fasting, when you're practicing any spiritual practice. He's saying essentially put on a happy face. Don't bring attention to it. In humility, keep it between you and God. Jesus commanded the disciples to hide their fasting in the name of humility and to even go as far as to put on a happy face so they could appear, so that they don't look for sympathy from the world as to appear more spiritual or more holy. He says, don't do that, because that's going to be your only reward out of it. The difference between sympathy and empathy is very important. Sympathy is simply feeling bad for someone. Empathy is completely understanding someone's pain. You see, sympathy is short-lived and empty, but empathy lasts forever and breaks the chains of loneliness. And so what the Pharisees were doing, the religious people, and sadly some Christians in our culture today, they're seeking the sympathy of the world, and that is short-lived. It's empty, and that in and of itself is the only reward you're going to get. Wow, look at you. You're awesome. You're holy. They're choosing that. They're selling out for that over empathy from God. God is the one that truly understands what you're going through. God is the one that knows your weakness, that knows you are flesh and has compassionate, and compassion means to suffer with. God is the one that does that. The world doesn't do that. Certainly not like God does. So Jesus was concerned with revealing the disciples' motivation for following him. Were they in it for earthly rewards or heavenly rewards? What is your motivation for serving Jesus? And the question is next, how do we get that right motivation that he's telling us to have? Verse 18 says, so that your fasting isn't obvious to others. So what he said in verse 17 is put oil on your face, put on a happy face. Don't draw attention to your spiritual practice. In humility, keep that between you and God. And he says, so that your fasting isn't obvious. See that? Jesus had to make it obvious to the disciples that your fasting shouldn't be obvious to others, because the spiritual leaders in their life had told them that you're not really fasting unless everyone can see what you're doing. And Jesus is trying to make it clear to him, that's not fasting. What he's really saying is that's not Christianity. We have to be able to have the eyes of Jesus as we look at the church, as we look at our culture, as we look at the Word of God, as we look at Instagram spirituality, YouTube spirituality, TikTok spirituality. We have to look at those things through the eyes of Jesus and say, is this giving glory to God or giving glory to man? Because I believe a lot of what we see on the television, on the iPhones, on the smartphones, on our laptops, on our iPads, a lot of what we see on the internet, Jesus would say, that's not Christianity. And so he's saying, if you fast with the right heart, if you practice your spirituality, if you practice your connection, you're following me, following God, following Jesus, if you practice that the right way and the right heart, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. He's saying the key to have the right motivation as you follow Jesus is this: secrecy. If why we need the right motivation is because we don't want to be a sellout, we want to be sincere. If the reason why we don't have the right motivation is because we're seeking sympathy from the wrong people instead of the Savior, then how to have the right motivation is secrecy. Jesus, his sacrifice was always kept secret so that your sacrifice could be done in secret and thus with the right motivation, reaping the right rewards. What I mean by that is Jesus wasn't blasting what he came to do out for everyone to know. He would, of course, talk about it, but he allowed the enemy to crowd people's minds, to blind people's eyes. The Holy Spirit was the one. Jesus left it up to the Holy Spirit to reveal things that the Father was doing to the right people at the right time. He had a plan for all of it. It wasn't, put it this way, Paul puts it better in 1 Corinthians 2:6-9. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Verse 7, no, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Time is something that began. You know that, right? Like, before God made time, time did not exist. Time is something that God created. Verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What does that mean? It means the principalities, the evil spirits, Satan, his demons, and the fallen little s sons of God who rebelled against God, which we see in Genesis chapter 6. Those rulers of this age, God has allowed them to have some dominion, have some principality, because it's all going to work according to God's plan. It looks like the enemy and the devil and the evil spirits are wreaking havoc, but everything is working according to God's plan. Mm-hmm. Joseph says that what you meant for evil, God meant for good. So God is in control of all of it. But one thing that they did not see coming was God saving us and giving us life through his son's death. Absolutely insane. To the point where Paul says in his revealed mind, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. What that means is Jesus' sacrifice was secret for the most part. The disciples didn't understand it. The rulers of this age didn't understand it. He died alone because most of the people closest to him didn't understand it. It was like secretive. It was a mystery what he was doing. Why did he do it that way? And so that we could have the power to practice our spirituality in secret. We could have the power to practice our spirituality without seeking motivation from the world, seeking sympathy from the world. We could do it simply because we love God. We could do it because we love him, not because we love what we're going to get out of it and how people are going to see us. Verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 2 says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Jesus's sacrifice was kept secret so that your sacrifice, so that your spiritual practice could be done in secret. As long as you're doing it in secret, you're doing it for the praise of God, not the praise of man. Where are you going to have the power to do that? When what spirituality asks you to do is deny yourself, when that is so hard, when it looks like I'm not going to get anything out of this if I deny myself. If I, one thing that we've chosen to do is to not drink, not because we want to be like, oh, I'm sober. I'm so much better than you guys. No, we've realized that drinking has brought nothing good for us in our life. It may be different for you, but we're doing it not because we want to seem spiritual, but because we've realized this is not helping me in my walk with God. It's actually hurting me. Even if I just indulge in it a little bit, it's hurting me. So if you look at that from a spiritual perspective, you might be tempted to think, okay, what I'm going to get out of being sober is people are going to see me as a strong spiritual person. Jesus says, if that's your motivation for that particular spiritual practice, that's all you're going to get out of it. But if you say, God, I'm not doing this to look spiritual in front of others. I'm doing this because I want you. Jesus is saying, then you're going to get God. You're going to get more of him. You're going to hear him more clearly. You're going to be more free. You see, the reward of practicing spirituality with the right motivation, the reward is God. That's why he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 or 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, that what no eye has heard, no eye has heard. You can't hear with your eyes, Alex. What no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind conceived, no human mind conceived. All the things that the human mind has conceived. Like our neighbors have this Tesla power bank on the side of their house where they harness solar energy into this Tesla battery thing. And I was just driving away from our house thinking, what the human mind has conceived is absolutely incredible. That we can harness energy from the sun and actually use it to cook our bagels. That's crazy to me. The mind has conceived so much crazy stuff, yet what the human mind has not conceived is the miraculous reward awaiting the children of God. the satisfaction that you will have is what you're waiting for. That's what you're hoping in, that we get God. We don't really know what that means quite yet, but we know we're going to be so satisfied in him. How could we not be awaiting that? Why would Jesus go through what he went through if that wasn't awaiting us? Why would the apostles go through what they went through if that wasn't awaiting us? Why did the church fathers go through what they went through if that wasn't awaiting us? Don't you think they would have just gave up if there wasn't any heavenly reward? Don't you think they would have just settled for an earthly reward? Why would Jesus do that? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What was the cross? Eternal wrath and punishment and judgment. You remember the flood, right? Imagine that, but falling onto one person. The flood was so bad, God said, I'm never going to do that again. He killed absolutely everything. If it wasn't in the ark, it wasn't alive. Imagine that happening to one person. Why would he do that? For the joy set before him. The joy in who? The joy in God. The heavenly reward. That's why he kept his sacrifice a secret. That's why he didn't need praise and understanding from the world. He didn't need sympathy from the world. Empathy from the Father was awaiting him. Father God, thank you so much for your son and what he did for us, how he empowers us to live for you and not for the praise of man. How empty that is. Give us the power to have the right motivation as we look at the cross. In your name we pray. In the risen name of our son, of your son, our Savior, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Do you have the right motivation? After the amen time with Lokalani Wilson.
I'll go first. Do I have the right motivation? Man, that is such a good question. And I think, you know, varies from day to day. And that's why these type of spiritual practice, such as fasting and prayer, specifically fasting in this episode, exist, because we are so fickle and we are constantly changing, constantly being pulled away from following Christ wholeheartedly. And so we need things like fasting in our lives, because we need to be able to discern his will, and we need to be motivated by the right things, which is following his son Jesus, who knows all and is the giver of all good things. And so I just love this episode kind of looking at fasting a different way, because I think one thing in the past that I like have pondered is like the way that we see fasting is like how the world sees manifestation at times. We're like, okay, I'm going to fast so I can get, you know, I really want to get this thing, or I really want this in my life. It's like whatever you like, something that you want, not necessarily needs. Sometimes it's needs, of course, but like a lot of times I've heard, you know, people, I'm fasting because of this. I want to get this. I want this. But you know, changing it to like, no, we fast so that we can discern the will of God. And within that will, there may be blessings, you know, but they might not look like the blessings that we think that we want, or we think that we really need as humans. And so I just think that's so great, because I'm like, we can't like have a spiritual practice just in the name of Jesus, air quotes if you're listening. but that is basically the same type of spiritual practice that the world engages in.
Right.
Like, what difference does it make? And so I love this, that it's centering us back to focusing on Christ. Fasting is about Christ, his will for our life, not what we want, what we can gain. And everything that we need to gain will be found in heaven, you know, and we have relationship with the King now because of what he's done for us. And so I think that's just so beautiful, and why it is so important to stay rooted in prayer and to stay in the Word of God, because our minds so quickly shift from wanting to follow his will and wanting to do our own will. And that's something we were talking about too, is like why we need to fast is because we're so prideful into thinking that we know his will. But really we need to wait on the Lord to reveal his will for our lives. And that can also be found in scripture, you know, be confirmed through what we can read in the Bible. And so, yeah, great episode. Thank you, Alex.
You're so welcome. And thank you guys for being here. Thanks for joining us. We love you. Thanks for helping us do what we do, keeping us ad-free, keeping us going. And amenpodcast.com if you want to pick up some merch or if you want to donate. Please follow us on Instagram so you can see like us and the kids. And we know the kids aren't in these episodes, but one day they will be. But for now, they help us make content on Instagram, telling stories that way, and some like bonus content over there for free, as always. But we love you guys. Thank you so much. And we'll see you in the next one.
Go out and be the church.
Amen.